So if you need a Bible, raise your hands. We're going to be in the Word of God this morning. I'm really excited. Can you tell? Yeah. So, and I'm a lot older than Larry, but he acts older sometimes, you know, but not too often. So our title this morning is Love or Both. John 21. We're going to be in John 21. Turn your Bibles there. While I open my Maxi water for Maxi preachers who do not drive Mini Coopers. So let's jump into John 21 and establish a foundation for our message, love or both. To understand what we mean by such a vague question, we will read and thought flow through the passage, expanding the translation at times as we go through these post-resurrection verses. In John 21, 4 through 5, we see resurrected Jesus and some of his disciples in a familiar setting at the Sea of Galilee. Verse 4, but when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore of Galilee. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. He was able in his post-resurrection body to cloak his appearance. He wants them to get used to hearing his voice and not seeing his face. Then Jesus said to them, "Little children, have you any food?" Notice he did not say, "Have you caught any fish?" although that is implied. They answered him, "No." Typical men's text, no. If these were lady fishermen, no, but we've tried all night and we've done this and we tried that and our sonar gear didn't work and it would be like the longest text in the world, right? Guys, we just say what? No, thank you. Rest my case. They were fishermen used to catching fish for a living and for their own food needs. When they weren't successful, when their nets were empty, Jesus just seemed to just be there. Recall on your own Luke 5, 1 through 6, their failure to catch any fish until Jesus came along. That was at the beginning of his ministry when Jesus said he would make them fishers of men. Right now, they were little children and fishers of nothing. Was their lack of food due to a poor effort on their part, or was the failure due to other reasons? Perhaps there were lessons to learn for the future. A principle we draw from that: when a trial happens that just doesn't make sense, ask if there is a lesson to be learned here. Don't be stupid, Dr. Chuck Missler says, and miss the lessons when you go through a trial. How ridiculous is that? Amen? Don't miss them. Let's see what we discover when we read on in verse 6. And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat." Are you kidding? You know how many times they've cast it on the right side of the boat and the left side and the front and the back and all around. "And you will find some what? Food." So they cast it. And now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, and of course, his name is John. It doesn't say Dave, the disciple whom he loved, Dave. Certainly not Cecil. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it. So what does outer garment symbolize here? And I suggest to you, it is not righteousness. And he plunged into the sea. Enthusiasms. That's what we have here. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, the length of a football field, dragging the net with the fish in it. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. So they're dragging the fish in, and Jesus already had what? Fish. And he also had what? Bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. He doesn't tell them why. Simon Peter went up by himself, dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153, in case you're keeping count. And although there were so many, the net was not broken, unlike the net in Luke 5:6, where it started to break. We ask, where did this food come from in verse 8 that he had prepared? Truly, he is King Supers. Some of you got it. Oh, you got it. Yeah. Scared it? He said, bring fish, but he already had fish grilled and bread ready when they dragged the fish ashore. He must have fished before them, prepared the fish, baked bread before they had arrived at his fire. Or he said, grilled fish, B, and baked bread, B, and voila, they were ready to eat. Could have been one of those days of creation. Write this question down. His prepared food was for them, but for whom was their food for? What does their food symbolize? Then Jesus said something very interesting to them all as you contemplate those questions. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of his disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. They may not have recognized him, but what did they recognize? His voice. My sheep know my what? Voice. You know his voice. If you're his sheep. Jesus then came and took the bread he prepared, and he gave it to them, and likewise he gave them the fish he prepared. So they ate what he gave them and not what they brought ashore. Again, who is their food for? Then Jesus has a conversation with Peter in verses 15 through 23. Before we read those verses, let's review the whole picture. Once again, there's some great symbolism in these pictures. They cannot catch any food all night apart from the Lord's long distance help in the morning. They could not recognize him, but they knew his voice. He directs them from afar, and they caught 153 large fish, large pieces of food. They did not lose any of the fish. The net did not even begin to break, unlike 3.5 years ago. He then instructs them to bring food to him, to where Jesus had already prepared food for them. They ate what he prepared, breaking their fast. They were running on empty all night, and they were filled without touching the food that they had caught. They were filled without touching the food that they had caught. Again, who was this food for, what they caught at the Lord's command? We will see shortly who their food was for. It's a picture, a model for us. Now, we can read 15 through 19. Having set the stage for this fascinating play, this two-person play to unfold with others and audience listening in, John 21, 15 through 19 records what seems to be a private conversation between Jesus and Peter. Peter's previous threefold denial is now rectified by a threefold affirmation of love. We call these verses the threefold care commission. It's a commission that I have, that Dave has, Joey has, those who are pastors here, the ladies who are overseeing the women in this church and the children and that. It is a threefold care commission. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to them, "Feed my lambs." And he said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend, or better, shepherd my sheep," as in 1 Peter 5, 2. Verse 17, he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you literally know all things, and you experientially know that I love you." Jesus did not disagree, but said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you that when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished or where you willed to. But when you are old," and this word is only used twice in the New Testament, this word old, and it's gerasko. What English word does that remind you of? Geriatric. Cecil, are you listening? Poor Cecil. He had surgery 2 days ago. Pray for him. He's doing well on his shoulder. He was doing the Lord's work this last winter on the slopes in Colorado. And he was run over by the brute squad from Princess Bride on the slopes. tore up his shoulder, but he's doing well. So hopefully you're listening, brother, my oldest, dearest friend, 48 years. But he's getting geriatric. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." There are four commands in these verses directed at Peter. Commands, not suggestions. "Feed my lambs with the food I provided through your gathering of it." The food you have is for my lambs. The food I have is for you. "Feed my lambs, and then tend or shepherd my sheep, then feed my sheep, the older sheep, and lastly, follow me." Four commands that he gave to Peter. There are two different Greek action verbs used for love in this conversation. The first is agapao, which is love of the will or love by choice. Love that is shown by action, not feeling, but by will and by choice. It's deliberate. You do it deliberately in spite of what? How you feel. For example, God so loved agapao, and his action was what? That he gave his best. What was his best? his son. John 3:16. Agapao is the kind of action love that God has for us. It is the kind of love that we are commanded to have for Jesus and by extension for others. The second word is phileo, which is a love and affectionate friendship. It is the love of the emotions in response to mutual attractions and similarities. It is the kind of love between two close friends. It is a love that develops naturally over which there is little control. It could be a love that becomes unhealthy spiritually when it is unequally yoked with an unbeliever in friendship. For that reason, believers are not commanded to phileo love everyone because sometimes that love is not good for us. Because it either is impossible to do so or perhaps dangerous to have this kind of love for everyone. However, agapao love is broader, superior, a love of the will, love by choice, not emotions. This love deals intelligently with believers and unbelievers and deals respectfully and worshipfully with God. So Paul has been beaten in the city of Philippi without cause. He and Silas thrown into an inner prison in the dark. Nobody tended to their wounds. They made a choice of will at midnight to do what? To love Jesus. They made that choice. They sang worship songs and hymns in the middle of a prison, bleeding profusely. They made a choice to love. This love is the love you choose to exercise. Therefore, this is the kind of love that a believer should have for all. We should have this kind of love for all. Back to John 21:15. Let's take a closer look. The angels are in the details. The angels are in the details. The first part of this conversation with Peter begins in John 21:15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" The word for love that Jesus used is agapao. When he asked Peter, what he asked Peter was this: "Peter, do you really agapao love me more than these? That is, more than these other disciples whom you have great affection for." Agapao, as we shall see, is more than a natural kind of love. Jesus' question is a significant question because during the last Passover, Peter claimed to have this kind of more than love for Jesus. He claimed to have agapao love for Jesus that was superior to that of the other disciples. How so? Peter said that although all the others may forsake you, Lord, he would never forsake him. Recall Matthew 26:33-35, before the arrest of Jesus. Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all his disciples. Though agapao love is not used in this passage, it is certainly implied. But of course, his claims, his love proved to be false because he later denied Jesus three times. In the shadow of his three denials, the question again was, "Simon Peter, do you really agapao love me more than the others?" Peter answered in verse 15, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." But the word Peter used was phileo, not agapao, the verb form phileo, not the verb form agapao. What Peter said was, No, I cannot really say I agapao you more than the others. There's no way he could lie in front of Jesus. No one ever lied to Jesus' face. Even Satan had to tell the truth when he was face to face with Jesus in the wilderness. No one remained sick in the presence, physical presence of Jesus Christ. No one remained dead if their body was in front of him. No way can Peter lie at this point. I said on that night, I will never be made to stumble and deny you. And all it took was for a maid servant girl in Matthew 26, 69 to cause him to stumble and to deny him. His love by choice, agapao love, failed. And now he cannot say at this time that he has this kind of love for Jesus. Peter's first commission. Shockingly, Peter now receives his first commission from Jesus. I command you, feed my lambs. It is interesting that the word for lambs is arnion, and it is not used at all in the book of Acts all the way through to Revelation chapter 4. We don't see the word for lamb at all until chapter 5 of Revelation. So who is Peter to feed? With what food is he to feed them with? Might I suggest the food that he brought, that he gathered in the net, but only with the Lord's help. The food he would receive from Jesus through inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The food he gathered in a net we call studying, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is the Isaiah 28:13 method, if you will. Gather a precept, another precept. Gather a phrase, gather a line of truth. Gather a word from here and from there until the net is full and you have a message of food for God's people. Do we have synonyms for lambs in the epistles? Yes. When the New Testament letters speak of lambs in the faith, they speak of babes, the immature. They would be equal to lambs. And their food is typically the what? The sincere milk of the word. Some verses that reference feeding lambs as babes are, and I'll note them up here. I won't read them. I'll let you do that. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. Hebrews 5, 12 through 13, 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3, give you reference to babes and their food. Peter's commissioned to feed them with the milk of the word. That is what Peter did in his first letter we call 1 Peter. Many of us were taught that phileo was an inferior love and not God's love. If that is the case, why would Jesus commission Peter to feed his lambs since he only phileo loved him? We'll talk more about that as we go. Let's move on to Peter's second commission. The second part of the conversation, verse 16, he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love agapao, me? The same word for love that Jesus used earlier, he uses again. Simon Peter, do you agapao me? But the form of the question was different this time. The first time Jesus asked him, do you agapao me more than these others? Peter had to say no. The second question was, Peter, do you agapao me at all? Why, you cannot say that you love me more than the others. Do you, agapao, love me in any way, shape, or form at all? Peter answered, yes, Lord, you know that I, phileo, love you. Again, Peter used the word phileo. Again, Peter said, no, the best I can affirm at this point is that I only, phileo, love you. I cannot say that I agapao you more than the others do, nor can I say that I agapao love you at all. After what I did, what I chose to do, I cannot say that. I can only say at this point that I, phileo, love you. Again, no discussion, no wrangling over the merits of phileo versus agapao. Jesus commands him again. Peter receives a second commission. I command you, tend or shepherd my sheep. To tend means to be a shepherd, to exercise rule over other believers. Peter is commissioned to exercise his authority, and this is what made him the chief apostle until Paul comes along. Peter fulfilled this second commandment throughout the book of Acts, especially the first half as he exercised rule and authority over other believers. So let's move in the text and to Peter's third commission, verse 17. Jesus continued with a third question. He said unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you, phileo, love me? This time, Jesus did not use the word agapao. He did not, as he did in the first and second, do you love me questions. Instead, he used the word which Peter had been using, do you, phileo, me? The point is this. Peter, you cannot affirm that you agapao me more than the others, nor can you even affirm that you agapao me in any way, shape, or form. But can you at least affirm that you phileo love me? Peter's response is in verse 17b. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, do you, phileo, love me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. And the word know there is intuitive. He has all knowledge. You know all things. And you know that I love you. The word, the second word for know there is love by experience. You know from experience with me that I, phileo, love you, Jesus. You know that. You know all things, but you experientially with me and you, you know that I, phileo, love you. Again, Peter also used the word phileo. The point of Peter's third response is this. This much I can indeed affirm. I can certainly affirm that I at least phileo love you. At this point, without further discussion, there's no commentary. Nobody called a meeting and said, well, let's discuss these three things here that Jesus did. No. Verse 17 continues, I command you, feed my sheep. Sheep are the older believers that must be fed with the meat of the Word of God. And this Peter did in his second letter, 2 Peter. We know this. 2 Peter chapter 1, we get hints that Peter is writing to a more mature audience. We read in verse 12 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter, for this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of those things though you know and are established in the present truth. Those are signs of mature believers. Yes, I think it is right that as long as I am in this tent, referring to his body, he knew it was temporary. He knew he's going to put off the tent. It is needful that I stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. When did he show him that? In John 21. Back to John 21, we ask, is phileo love God's love? We may think phileo love is a lesser or only a human affection rather than a different kind of godly love. What we learn from Scripture is that phileo love is used of the Father loving his Son, Jesus Christ. Where? We read this in John 5:20. For the Father loves phileo the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. And this is all based on what? What love? Phileo. Not only does the Father love the Son, he also, phileo, loves the Son's disciples, Peter and John and all the disciples. In John 16:27, we read, for the Father himself loves, phileo, you, because you have loved, phileo, me, and have believed that I have come forth from God. It is used of Jesus' love for Lazarus, according to both of his sisters in John 11, verse 3. Therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love, phileo, is sick. That's the love relationship the sisters saw between Jesus and Lazarus. It is used of Jesus loving the apostle John himself. How could he not with a name like John? Easy, just get to know me and you can figure it out. In John 20, verse 2, then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, phileo, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Come find him, bring him back. Basically, that's the implication. We see then that phileo love is not a lesser love, amen, but a different love. It is different. Is phileo love acceptable to God? Yes, and yes again. But is phileo love enough love for loving in all of life's situations and trials? No, and no again. It is not enough. Its bandwidth is too narrow. Peter will tell you no. It is not. My phileo love for the Lord failed me. I failed and I denied him three times. He did not have, he claimed to have, agapeo love. Agapeo equals the love of choice. Agapeo equals the love of choice. It must be preeminent in spite of feelings. Phileo love can be passionate and moving, and engages more than the will. I love it. Don't you love phileo love? You know what? You guys here, you love each other this way. You do. It is so cool. How many of you love coming here? Boy, that's a loaded question. Oh, who didn't raise their hand? It is a love that depends on how it feels and then determines how it acts according to how it feels. If phileo love is not consciously present, you may not love as you should. You may not be feeling it. You have a horrible situation come into your life. And if you only have phileo love, who are you going to be bitter and angry at? God. So you have to develop and grow agapeo love, because life is going to knock you down. Phileo is translated 3 times in the Gospels as kiss, just to give you an idea of what is. Its more intensive form is kata phileo. That makes it intensive. And it's also translated kissed or kiss 5 times, all in the Gospels, once in Acts 20:38. The kiss here is a kiss of greeting. And by the way, I only do that with Margaret, my wife, and I do it quite often, just so you know. 48 years of greeting my wife. How are the verbs phileo, love, and agapeo, love, used in the church letters? Those are our final authority. The letters, the epistles, are our final authority for the church. Are we ever told to love with phileo love? Yes, and yes again. The verb phileo is used 3 times in the letters, including the 7 letters in Revelation 2 and 3. Once in 1 Corinthians 16:22, as we are to love the Lord Jesus Christ, phileo. Once in Titus 3:15, greet those who love us in the faith, phileo. And finally, of Jesus rebuking those he phileo loves in Revelation 3:19, the church at Laodicea. He loves them with that love. How is the verb agapao love used in the church letters that are our final authority? Are we ever told to love with this love? Yes, and much more so than with phileo love. The verb agapao is used 77 times, the verb, in the letters, including the 7 letters in Revelation 2 and 3. So you have 3 times phileo is used as an active verbal love. But here we're talking about verbs, love and action. So it's 77-3, agapao love versus or in conjunction with phileo love. Questions. First question. Would Peter ever agapao love Jesus? The answer is yes. Yes, he would. Number 2 question. Would not his care commissions require exercising agapao love? Again, the answer is yes and yes. Phileo love will not be adequate. Jesus went on to show that a time would come when Peter would prove that he would agapao love him by choice. Look carefully at John 21:18-19. Let's read through it carefully. Most assuredly, or don't you doubt it, Peter. Most assuredly, don't doubt this, Peter, when I tell you this. Because you said earlier, I know all things. And you're right, I do. I say to you that when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you willed to walk. Peter loving who? Peter. But when you are old, you will, Peter loving Jesus, not denying him, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you to where you do not wish. In case you're confused what he's talking about here, he said this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God, not denying him, because Peter will exercise agapao, love of choice, love of will. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, I command you to continuously follow me. Your death will be my will, but I will be with you when that happens. Follow me. At this point, Jesus gave a cryptic prophecy to Peter, signified how Peter would die. He would die a martyr's death. He would die by means of crucifixion. Jesus said a time would come in Peter's life when he would prove that he had agapao love for him. He would show willing agapao love for Jesus rather than save his human life by denying him. Even though Peter was to die a martyr's death, Jesus said to Peter, in the meantime, until that happens, whenever it happens, and I know, follow me. We're going to be together in this. From here on, that is exactly what Peter did. By following Jesus and making love choices that comes from following Jesus, Peter showed that he really did have agapao love, the love of choice for Jesus. I can picture Peter, after this conversation, putting back on his outer garments, symbolic of his apostolic commissions and following Jesus. I believe Peter thought he had taken them off forever when he denied Jesus three times and failed to exercise the love of choice, agapao love. God knows how to work even our denials for good. Three denials turn for good to three commissions understood. So how do we prepare ourselves to love by choice and not just by phileo love? Agapao, the verb form of agape, is a love all people exercise daily all over the world. It is not just God's love, or our love for God. That's what I was taught, that this is always God's love. That's not true. I was taught that agape, the noun, and agapao, the verb, were God's love. It is not restricted in use to God. It is his love, at least his version of agape and agapao love. Here are some verses where agapao love is exercised by men, and it is not God's version of love in action. You ready? Matthew 5:46, for if you agapao those who agapao you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do and love the same way? The verb agapao is used twice here, implied a third time. Luke 6:32 is similar. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Agapao is used four times in this verse, and it's not used of whose love? God's. It's a love of choice, love of will. These people exercised it, and people do every day. Is this God's love or God's version of love by choice? No, and no again. Luke 11:43, how about this one? Woe to you Pharisees, for you love, agapao, the best seats in the synagogue, and you love, agapao, greetings from all the people in the marketplaces. Is that God's love? This use of agapao is a scary one. This one is very scary. And you have kids and friends that are choosing to love with this love. And it is scary and it hurts. You ready for this? John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men loved agapao, darkness rather than light. Why do they make that choice of love? Because their deeds were evil, and they did not want to stop doing them. You know people like that? But our God is big. He's powerful. He won't violate your free will. But keep praying. Keep loving. Amen? 2 Timothy 4:10, for us church goers, Christendom. Demas, who traveled with Paul, he served with Paul. He served Paul himself. Demas has forsaken me, having loved agapao, this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Agapao love is powerful for good or evil, depending on who is exercising it and why. So, how do we develop a love that chooses righteousness and the will of God over any other love? First, understand, grasp how deep, how wide, how high is your forgiveness from God. Everyone in this room is just as evil a sinner as I was. You're dirty, no good, low down, yellow belly, lizard licking, cancer stick sucking, mole diggers. Every one of you. But you don't believe that. You don't believe that. I believe that about me. I was a horrible person. You think I'm bad now. And I met Cecil in late 73. I'd just gotten saved, and he had been just gotten saved. We were a mess. We were a sinful mess. Then I met Margaret a few months later. Understand and grasp how deep and wide and high is your forgiveness from God. Why? Jesus said in Luke 7:41, and I will freely translate here, those who understand they are forgiven will agapeo, love what? Much. Those who are forgiven little in their own eyes will agapeo very little. My wife never did any of the things I did. None of them, not even close. But she calls herself, you know what she calls herself? The chief of sinners. She understands how deep and wide is her forgiveness, and therefore she what? Loves much. Second thing you do, his version of agapeo love is of him, from him, and the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is love. Therefore, be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you will be filled with what? Love. His love. His version of agape love. And from that, then you will verbally agapao love. You follow? Third, love by obeying his revealed will. And obeying is not a matter of feeling. It's a matter of love by choice. Ask the Father to make his will your will. When's the last time you prayed that in your 24 hours of prayer in the hour that you chose, that you would pray that, Father, I struggle with overriding your will with my own. Please help me not to do that. Please change that in me, because you are love and you live inside of me. I want to love by choice. Number four, don't depend on phileo love to love your enemies. It ain't going to happen. Don't depend on phileo love to love those that use and abuse you or your goodwill. I'm talking in the church. Don't depend on phileo love to love those who do not reciprocate love or anything else you give them. Well, I invited all these people over to my house, and this is how they love me. They never invite me over. Phileo love at that point did what? It failed. But agapao love says what? I did what God wanted me to do. I obeyed. I had them over. Whether they ever invite me over, it doesn't matter. Don't depend on phileo love to love those who misunderstand you and twist your words. And phileo love ain't going to work there. Phileo love typically will not love in those situations, but love by choice will. Phileo love is not designed for loving in those situations. It's a different kind of love. Fifth, develop the agape love attitude. How do you do that? Have a love in. Now I'm going back to my hippie days. Scott McKenzie, you know, have you ever been to San Francisco? Be sure to wear some flowers in your hair, et cetera, et cetera. Michael's over here. One hit wonder, that's it. Have a love in so that you will choose to love out. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. This is how you have a love in. The verses will not be up there, just the address, so you're going to have to actually look. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8a. What does the manifestation of the Spirit of God who is love look like inside of us? Inside of us. This passage is more about a position we take before we speak or act or respond in some way. Verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. And the word kind there is, it's kindness towards those who do not deserve kindness. It is a kindness you would not extend with phileo love only. You wouldn't do it. Love suffers long, long suffering. This phrase in verse 4 is a great summary of love by choice. In a fallen world, we're continuously asked to be long-suffering and to be kind towards those who are undeserving of kindness. And in a church full of fallen people saved by grace, who are in different stages of growing into maturity or healing, then we read in verse 4, love does not envy. Here's what envy is. If I can't have it, Kurt, You can't have it either. Sorry. I don't want you to have it any way, shape, or form. Love does not parade or boast about itself. It is not puffed up, the leaven of arrogance. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own will or way. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. So why do we have these eight love does not phrases in verses 4 through 6? Let me tell you why. The obvious answer is that we are not to love with agapao love that way. The unobvious answer is that because this is the way the world loves agapao. It's the way I did, for I was saved. This was love. Envy was good. Boasting was good. Arrogance was right on. Somebody fells in iniquity, right on. They deserved it. Isn't that right? Weren't some of you like that? That's agapao love in the world. Because those are the characteristics. These are the love choices of your sinful nature even now. You could easily now, I could easily, not so easily, Joey would hit me over the head with a 2x4, I could revert to this kind of love by choice. My sinful nature wants to do these things. Your sinful nature wants to as well. It's still there. It's not gone away. You have power over it through the Holy Spirit and the cross of Jesus Christ. You get that? But it's there. It's always lurking. It's always there. And, you know, and I'm 70 years old, but I got to tell you, my sinful nature is 20. It's like, oh, wow, don't you ever wear out? Any of you ever felt that way? Nobody. Okay. Well, Leah, just erase that last part of the. They're the love choices of your sinful nature even now. But, verse 6b, but in contrast, agapao love rejoices in the truth, bears under and with all things, believes all things, has a faith outlook, hopes all things, looks forward to a glorious future, endures all things while looking forward, endures present sufferings with joy. Love never fails, never falls off in the race. That's to be in us. That's the love of God. That's the love of the Holy Spirit. And you know what that looks like in your life? You know what I see throughout here? I see a whole bunch of grateful people looking forward to being with Jesus Christ and looking forward to be used every day. Amen? That's what I see. Do you have bad moments? Sure. Absolutely. I get that. So do I. What if I have a love letdown? What do I do? What do you do if you have a love letdown? You repent. That means change your mind. Acknowledge it. Receive forgiveness. Ask for what is missing to be filled in and follow Jesus and get up and keep going and say, okay, I'm going to make a better choice the next time with God's help. Amen? As we continually allow ourselves to have love worked into us and then out of us, we need daily to make agapao love choices where phileo love fails or is inadequate, while continually working in and on our love attitude. We need to work out what love by choice looks like in real life. And we're going to fail. I do all the time. I had a temper tantrum 2 weeks ago in my house. And I was yelling. What did I have to do? Margaret said to me, that worked out real well. She is so gracious with me. And that worked out real well. What did I have to do? I had to repent. I had to tell everybody I was mad at, yelling at. This is wrong. Okay, and what do I do after that? Mope? Move on. Learn a lesson. How can I do this differently? How can I make a better choice? See, my wife would never push the button. It would take her years and decades to figure out how to push the button to make a decision. I told her one day, I said, you and your dad should start your own business. She goes, what's that? I said, the laundry business, and call it wishy-washy laundry. Because she can't make a decision. She's got, you know, she wants all this different. You ask me to push the button for the bomb? I'll do it. Give me enough information and I'll make that decision. Not her. No way. So sometimes I have to learn to back off before I say something. I have to stop by choice in order to make the what? The right choice. Have a love in. Why has the church seemingly been such a failure over the years? You realize that the church is not a failure, that within Christendom, within what we see as the church, is the pearl of great price that Jesus Christ died for and that he is making. It's there. You're there. Why has the church seemingly been such a failure? Why did 5 of 7 churches need to be told to repent in Revelation 2 and 3? 5 of 7 churches before the end of the first century told to repent. Didn't we just start this thing called church age? Why are most of the letters in the New Testament at least 50% corrective except Romans and Philippians? One answer is this. There's a lot of reasons. One answer is this. The church is dependent upon phileo loving too much. That's why 77 times in these corrective letters, the author says, you need to start agapeo loving by choice. And it proved, phileo love proved to be inadequate for tough situations personally with the church or with the world. Are we to phileo love? Absolutely. Amen? Okay. Is it part of God's love plan? Yes. Isn't it great how we love and phileo each other here? If any of you do not feel loved here, come and see me or email me at joey@calvarycastlerock.com. Joey does that to me when he gets up here. Pray that he doesn't. But sometimes we have to exercise agapeo, the love of choice, the love of the will over how we feel. So Joey, sitting right back here, over the last 10, 12 years we've served together, I did a sermon once on crossing the bridge. And over the last few years, Joey would come up to me and said, I just had to cross the bridge. I had to love somebody, and I didn't feel like it. I didn't want to do it, but he does. That's agapeo love. Because why? Because feeling love doesn't always work, and a different love action love is needed. Love or both? Shall we pray? Amen?